Right. We are reading from Hebrews chapter 12. Hebrews chapter 12, verses 1 to 3. Therefore, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us also lay aside every weight and sin which clings so closely, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking to Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith, who, for joy that was set before him, endured the cross, despising the shame, and is seated at the right hand of the throne of God. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
I always ask God that, Lord, if you spare my life and I grow old, may I grow as gracious as that man and many others like him. It's a terrible thing to have a grumpy dad at home. Yeah. You know, and you go home and you think, I'm going to see mom. I'm going to hear how the whole world is coming down. So let us be gracious as we grow older. That's the last one of the day. I realized that my commission won't take me to Durban, so I need to push one more time. There's a popular book. I can't even tell you a whole lot about it because I've only started it in Durban. A friend of mine from Hilton bought it for me and said, read it, so you can understand why you think the way you think or why certain things happen in a certain way. The air we breathe, it is so succinctly defined and explained how the Christian thinking has shaped the world over the last 200-300 years. It's a book that, from what I've read, just helps us see why certain things we say they're not done or why certain things are done in a particular way. This writer is helping us see that even unbelievers hold so dear to what they define as it's a right thing to do without realizing it is the gospel thing that God has told us long time ago to do. It's a very, very good book. It's an easy read for people like me, English is a second language. So it's an easy read. And they promise that if you buy all of them, my commission will be 25%, as opposed to what Gerard gave me, 5%. Can you believe it? It's a good read. Guys, it is a great thing to learn, to read Christian books. And I know we spend a lot of time on TikTok. Just get back to the books. It's a good thing to do. And it's nice. Just get old-fashioned, real book. Take it with you. Read. Put it next to your bed. Don't scroll on Facebook or whatever else you do for an hour before you sleep. Read a good book. Let's pray. Lord, how majestic is your name in all the world. Thank you for your great salvation. You did not need us. You don't need us. And yet your love compelled you to come down in the form of a man in Jesus Christ to take the cross for us, so we don't have to endure it, and open the way so that we may be reconciled with you. Our Father, we are so grateful for your mercy. Help us today to make that fresh commitment to pick up our crosses and to follow you daily for the rest of our lives. In Jesus' name. Amen. Well, as we draw to a close, and I thought this session must be more of a practical stuff to keep you awake after that lunch. And so what we want to be doing today, and with this just last section, is to think practically Now, when we leave here, what are the things we need to do? You know? It's so easy when you go to these conferences and you come back, you are inspired. You know you got to change, or you know you got to do something, but you've got no focus clue what it is, where to start. And a week later, it just wears off. You forget about it. But if we come out here with clear thinking about things we need to do, and I won't be able to tell you what you need to do, but I'll be able to just, I hope, help you think practically about what you need to do, because we will not all do the same things, because we are not in the same place in our lives and we're not facing the same problems. So we have to think that through. So there we are. In the end, we have been challenged to pay careful attention to the Word of God so we don't drift away. Instead of drifting away, we've been called to draw near to God, to the point that we are convicted in the deepest of our hearts that we need God, that God doesn't need us. And now we come to an end, and we are also told now, with all that, we need to let go of some stuff. Let go of some stuff that puts so much weight on you. So already Gerald started that with the interview about my own personal health. You know, when the doctors diagnosed my situation, they said, oh, we got your cancer early. We'll deal with it. Don't worry about it. And they had the first treatment. And 6 months later, the PSA just kept going up and kept going up. And my oncologist like, nah, we didn't get rid of that stuff. Come back. And you get all the news and the bad news. And I don't want to focus on that. What I want to focus on is when you realize that you don't have much time, things become clear to you. Some decisions are forced upon you, and you really make them slowly but surely. You don't procrastinate anything. There's nothing to push to retirement when you have 18 months. You make decisions and you get rid of certain things. So here, the passage that we're focusing on, it says, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and sin which clings so closely, and let us run with endurance. You see, it's moving from what you know to what you must do. We are surrounded. The first thing that he talks about is that there is that history of chapter 11, the faithful heroes who ran the race before them. And he's not saying, look to them. He says, remember them as you run. Let them inspire you. So it's, in other words, it's not the spectators that are standing there cheering you up. Run, 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 run. No, no. They've ran the race. Yours is to look at them and see what they've done, and may that inspire you as you run. They won't be there to cheer you up, right? But the history is there for you. That's the call. You and I are blessed in that when you read church history, you know of men and women who made incredible sacrifices for the gospel. The reformers. Remember all the things they did. May they be of inspiration to you and me. When you read stories of the missionaries who came to this country, who came to KZN, and we killed them. I mean, Zulus, we do good of that. They came, they looked different, we killed them. What did they do? They sent more. They sent more. They sent more. And today, there are so many sons and daughters in the Zululand who Sunday by Sunday lift up their hands and praise Jesus, and they've been redeemed from the curse of ancestral veneration. But it took some people to go out and proclaim the gospel. All right. And their sacrifices set us free from the oppression of that spiritual culture. And we have that as the cloud of witnesses. And it should inspire us to keep going in the faith as Christians. But what I want to focus on is this call to throw off every weight that pulls you down. It says, let us run this. I think the call is such a beautiful call. And that it is such a demanding call. Letting go of the things you like, you think you need. It says, let them go because they're actually hindering you from running the race. And then run the race with endurance. Everything that holds you back, we are challenged to let them go. What are they? I actually don't know. I've got no focus clue. What is the stuff that is holding you back? But this I know. I come from KZN and we host the ultimate human race. And some of you have actually run this race, haven't you? How many of you have run the Comrades? I expected more hands than that, eh? So many of us are praying for them when they run, right? And here's the thing with them, is that when they start in Maritzburg, it's freezing cold, all right? And you see these guys with their light shorts and their vests that just literally is nothing. And the ladies with their underwears and top bras, and they're freezing cold like this, all right, in the morning. I have never seen any guy showing up with his pericardium and a red tie on Red Race. They do that in the office, but they don't do that when they go for Comrades, do they? And some of those guys are hikers. They've got nice, fancy, waterproof boots, and they never wear them. They never do. They let go of everything that could hinder them from their race. And they only wear what they absolutely need in order to run. And now these runners, when they stand there, they have one thing in mind, Durban. Get there and get there within time because the sweeper will be behind you sweeping. But they know that between the place where they are and Durban, the road is long. The road is full of unforgiving hills. That's why it's called the Thousand Hills. Those who've tried, they know. It requires an incredible stamina. We stand there outside our church building in Hillcrest, and we watch them come down Fields Hill. And by the time they come to pass the gate, you cannot tell who is the CEO and who's the gardener. They are all like Jack Russells, just going. And we stand there with potatoes. They will take my potatoes. They don't even know who I am. They will take my salt and they would lick their thing because in their mind, they only have one thing. Get to Durban. As a family, we love watching this race. We love to watch the first top 10, you know, those guys who run to win it. And then the last 30 minutes of the race is where the family is standing there and we're cheering it up. And some of them, they can't even run. The knees can't hold. They're finished and they are crawling through the line. They are pelile. Yeah. But you see, the thing is, you need to get there before 5:30. You can't change that. You need to run that race for 12 hours. Even if your uncle is a mayor, it's still 12 hours. They run, and they run. When they can no longer run, they walk. It requires incredible dedication, incredible commitment. just to get there. Because, I mean, in all honesty, if we were to be honest here, and if you repeat me on this one, I will deny I was even here. The majority of the people who run the Comrades Marathon have no intention of winning it. They just want to finish before 5:30. You see, it's not about how you finish. It's about finishing. You get the guys there, they finish, they go and they do the push-ups. Ooh, 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 ooh. They're like, wow. I mean, the guy has ran all this distance and he still can do the push-ups or the Zulu dance, whatever they do. And others get there, there is nothing, nothing. But all of them would be counted if they finished the race. The writer here says, let go of those things so you can run with perseverance and finish the race. It's not about how you start. And dare I say, it's not even how you finish. It's about finishing it. It's about not giving up. It's about pressing and pressing and pressing. And the beauty of the Comrades is that there are some who actually would not be able to finish, and others are carrying them. And you see them. But others are holding them. They are holding them so that they can cross the line. It's such a beautiful picture when you see it. Finish the line. Let go of the things that hinder you and run. And run with purpose. Know why you've surrendered your life to Jesus. It's because he's your Savior, your Lord. And you have an eternal life with him in glory. But it's not about glory. It's about doing that stuff now while you're waiting for his return. Many of us, many, see our salvation as just getting on a bus and then sit until you get to Durban. We are men who cannot be counted when it comes to the issues of God because we are passengers in the bus. We are not running the race. Let go of those things and then run the race. Ours is greater than the human race, the Marisbeek human race. It is a race of eternal life. We don't have to finish at 5:30. For as long as the Lord gives you a day, it's a day of service in the kingdom. Every single day, when you wake up in the morning and you do your devotions, if you do your devotions, you wake up and you say, thank you, Lord, for another day. Now, when I was sick, and we had a deal at home, because I didn't want to depress my kids with my problems. Dad, how are you? Well, I could be dead, my darling, and I am well. And so when I started to get better and an oncologist says, hey, look, actually, you will live. Looks like you will live. We've made that deal. At home, how are you? How are you doing? I'm well. Huh? I'm well. But in that deal, we never cover our struggle. Our kids need to be able to express that. But at church, what do? I'm well. Hey, did you hear they're going through a messy divorce? No, I didn't. He just said they're well. They were holding hands. Because we just learned to cover things instead of letting go of the things that eat us away and seek help, we cover them. Jesus is the founder of our faith, and he perfected it by facing the cross head on. And he did. Remember when he said to Peter, we need to go to Jerusalem. And Peter said, We can go to other places, but not Jerusalem. Because in Jerusalem, they want to kill you. He said, to Jerusalem, we must go. Because the joy of our salvation was set before him. And he was resolute. He was never going to stop. And he ran the race that God had set before him. He defeated death for us on the cross. And today, you and I, we can say, death, oh death, where is your sting? It's gone because of the cross. But then why do we run with our hiking boots? Why do we wear suits in the race? Those things that hinder you. Why are you holding on to them? God says, let them go. When you commit your life to Christ as your Lord and Savior, it's a lifelong commitment. It's not a for now, you know. I love you, Jesus. Things are good. But when things are tough, no, I'm not. It's a lifelong commitment. We have to keep going with him. It doesn't mean it's going to be easy. The gospel does not promise that when we come to Jesus, our lives are going to be easy. It's going to be hard. That is why they're using these words, perseverance. Right? Endurance. Pressing on. It's not going to be easy. You don't endure eating ice cream. That's just not how it works. Let us lay aside the things that hinder us. Remember, it is he who perseveres to the end who will be saved. Not the one who confesses Jesus at the beginning and then allows the cares of the world to extinguish their faith. No. It is only those who persevere to the very end who shall be saved. Now, we've got to ask ourselves this morning or this afternoon, huh? What is hindering you from running the race with dedication? Guys, often it's not the bad things that hinder us, but it's worth mentioning them, all right? Porn is not just a menu that guys justify. No, it's just a menu. I'm not going to act on it. No. It's not. It's sin, and it destroys families. So things like that, yes, we've got to get rid of them in our lives. But a lot of us, the struggle is not the bad stuff. It's the good stuff that we place at the seat of Jesus. It's personal comfort over sacrifice. It's me and my priorities over God and his priorities. It's me and my goals as opposed to God and his purposes. So it's not necessarily the bad stuff that holds us back. We just need to check, what is it that is hindering me from being effective in the kingdom of God? What is it? And lay that weight aside. If it's sin, it will entangle you. I love how Peter says, he says, you know, sin, it grows. You know, just think of a pregnant woman. The tummy is tiny. And my wife is a teacher. And we see this at school all the time. The kid will cover that little tummy. And the tummy will just keep growing. And she will get a bigger jersey. And the tummy grows. And then she gets a bigger jersey. And eventually, the baby pops. There we are. It's got a kid. Sin is like that. It grows and it grows and it grows and it grows and eventually it swallows you up. You can cover it, but eventually it will cover you. You can hide it, but eventually it will hide you from the face of God. Deal with it. We cannot run this race of faith with the sin holding us down, the personal burden of guilt. We just can't do it. If it's inside you, it's that stuff that you can't forgive yourself. Go and speak with someone you trust so that you can halve that burden and let that person pray with you, pray for you, so that sin
is off your shoulders. And guys, God will help you if you are serious about it. If you really want to break free, if you want to enjoy victory over that sin, it's a personal commitment you have to make. We can't make that commitment for you. We can't. And I think that the biggest thing with us as guys, and we really have to ask God to help us, we just know how to talk ourselves into a space where we feel comfortable about the life of sin and feel that, no, God understands it, I've explained it. No. If you fix your eyes on Jesus, and yet at the same time your heart is completely dedicated to the things of the world, where your heart is, that's where your money will go, that's where your time will go, that's where your energy will go. Never in the gospel. Jesus is the founder and the perfecter of your faith and my faith, who for the joy that was set before him, he endured the cross, despising the shame, and is seated at the right hand of God in heaven. Stop looking at yourself. Stop. Stop looking at others. How I wish I was like John. John is such a dedicated guy. You know, he's always at church early in the morning, and he's the last guy to leave. And he's always serving tea. And then the next minute, hey, you know that he's arrested. He has been abusing children. Stop looking at other people. And then when that happens, you are broken. I mean, I always tell the congregation at church, stop looking at me. I won't die for you. Jesus died for you. Look to him. Don't look to other people. And so often you hear people, when they start becoming slack in their faith, they say they were discouraged by the minister or by someone who gave them cold tea. For heaven's sake, go and buy yourself a warm tea if you didn't like it. Please. We cannot reduce the gospel to such trivial things. It's a shameful thing to say. And yet we say it, and when we do, the others understand. And they even want to pray for us. Just go and get yourself a better tea. It's that simple. If someone hurt you in a church and you've left that church, don't then stay at home. Okay? You know what families do? We hurt one another. We say things to our family members that only later you think, oh, Jomo, you're such a moron. Why did you? And sometimes you are afforded an opportunity to forgive, to apologize, and you can't demand forgiveness. And you can't demand reconciliation. But sometimes the damage is so bad that it's so difficult to go back to the church. We respect that. Go to another one then. And when you do get there, just remember, there are forgiving sinners like you there. Don't expect a perfect church. Otherwise, you'll be these Christians who are like rabbits. They are forever hoping. They are forever hoping. Fix your eyes on Jesus and serve him faithfully wherever you are. A moment of decision for you and me. This morning, someone long time ago wrote a hymn. It says, turn your eyes upon Jesus. Look full, wonderful face. And then, all right, the things of this world would grow strangely dim. How come they sparkle so much? Because your eyes are not fixed on Jesus. They are fixed on these things. Are you still running the race? Are you still walking with Jesus? Do you think is God pleased with you currently? Because it is very sad that many Christians today are not in the race. They are watching the race. They are not growing. They are not serving in the kingdom. They are not sharing the gospel with anybody. They are not making any personal sacrifices for the sake of the gospel. They even struggle to go to church. Guys, it can't be. Is God still your God? Is he still your master? If you have stopped, and you watch the Comrades runners run, and it's a sad thing. It really is a sad thing when you see it happen. They run, and they run, and they run, and they run. Because in the end, by the time you finish your comrade, it's your mental strength that carries you than your physical strength. But so often, it gets to the point where even the mental strength gets defeated. They can see the sweeper behind and they're running, but they can run no more. They try and they just can't. And so you see, they run, they stop, they run, they stop. They stop, they walk, they stop, they walk, they stop, and then they quietly just walk and stand on the side. I can do no more. Many start, but not all finish. And that picture should always remind us that many start the race of faith, but not all finish. And so you can never count on the fact that you were baptized by Catholic parents. It won't take you to heaven. It's your personal relationship with Jesus and you picking up your cross and following him daily. It's not the fact that you carried it for the last 30 years and you lose it in your interest in the gospel in the last 5 years. Because those last 5 years would reveal whether you were really committed to Jesus or not. Keep going. The road is long. The hills are unforgiving. The heat will cook you. Even the cold water will feel warm. And your knees will feel like they've injected with water. Just don't stop walking with Jesus. Lord, give me strength that I may run and run and run until you call me home. Right? But if you don't make that commitment, if you say, I'm still going to think about it, you are presuming on the grace of God that tomorrow is yours. And tomorrow is really not yours. And I look in our fellowship back in Hillcrest, the people who came to my office crying their lungs out about my cancer situation, and I have conducted their memorial service. You get it? They were certain they would be there at my memorial service, and I conducted theirs. Don't presume on the grace of God. Take today. Tomorrow is not in your hands. If you're one of those who've really not said, I don't want to do this anymore, but you've drifted, I hope this conference has encouraged you to feel the tapping of God in the back of your head. Just get up. Get up. Get up. Let's go again. Come on. Come on, let's go again. You remember when you started. Let's go again. Let's go again. And if you've never given up your life to Jesus as your Lord and Savior, What is holding you back? If God were to ask you, what must I do to help you get it? What is it that's holding you back? God doesn't promise life to be easy. So if you want to make this decision today, we are not saying, come and receive your health and your wealth and your prosperity and your happiness. We say, come and enter the race for eternal life. He would sustain you. He will run with you. And he will never leave you because he has promised to be with you to the end. Won't you please take a moment now? We all bow our heads, and you want you to think about your own personal walk with Jesus right now. Either you want to say, Lord, I get it, and I come to you, or you say, Lord, I am sorry. Take a moment. Our gracious Heavenly Father and our eternal God, you've heard the prayers of your people. You've heard the cries of your men. And some cry of repentance and faith, and some cry of strength in the moment of their weakness. Father, please help us never to be like that lukewarm church that you were ready to spit out of your mouth. And those of us who probably might have lost our first love, would you please restore it? That we may live here this afternoon convicted that you have called us to a specific and a very special ministry that you have set aside for us. That for the joy of our salvation, we will just face the task and finish it. Like Paul, that in the end we may be able to say, we fought a good fight, we kept the faith, and we finished the race. Not for our good, but for your glory. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.